This story of the road to Emmaus is one that many people, most Christians are familiar with. We talk about it every Easter because it's such a pivotal story, such a moving story. And also because it has so much to do with us personally, how we live our lives, how we lack belief, and then Jesus appears right there with us. The full story is only found in Luke. Unlike in most of the Gospels, you find something in two or three of them that will be there. But the full story of it is only found in Luke. But it is referred to it in Mark 16, verses 12 and 13. Mark talks about how two of the disciples had seen Jesus and they went and told the others, but they did not believe them. And don't you recall last Sunday we talked about doubting Thomas and how he didn't believe that the other disciples had seen the Christ. And of course, we talked about when Mary went and told the other disciples that she had seen Christ, and the other three had told them that they had seen the angels, and they didn't believe them either. And so we have it here: two disciples walking down the road. I kind of have a feeling that they just had to get out of Jerusalem. They couldn't take it anymore. They'd probably been there at the raising of Lazarus from the grave. You know, Lazarus was raised from the grave. It was just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And so all the people from Jerusalem came out to see this miracle, because all the mourners had been there from Jerusalem to mourn with Mary and Martha to see Lazarus raised from the grave. So they probably saw Lazarus sitting there and all those many people who had seen him come out in his burial clothes, wrapped in his clothes with the embalming and everything, and come out of the grave. They didn't see him come out of the grave, but they were there and saw the living Lazarus that everyone told him was dead. And I'm sure these disciples were present when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. And people were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest!" They probably weren't, but we probably weren't in the garden, because the Garden of Gethsemane was a retreat that Jesus and just the 11 disciples went to when Jesus prayed. And the disciples slept until Judas arrived with the guard to arrest Jesus. But certainly they were there in all the turmoil and saw Jesus in chains, Jesus having been flogged, Jesus struggling under the weight of the cross, until the Romans grabbed another one to help carry the cross. And they probably saw, albeit from a distance, the crucified Christ on the hill. It doesn't record that they were present when Joseph and Nicodemus claimed the body and prepared it for burial in Joseph's tomb. But I'm sure they knew about that. And I suspect that it was just too much to take. They obviously had seen it. They talked about the events that led up to this day. This was a roller coaster ride of events. It had to be a really heady experience being with Jesus, being a follower of Jesus, and them going from village to village and town to town, and the just throngs of hundreds of people flocking to him to be healed. We think about our terrible headaches and our back pains and our abdominal distress and urinary infection and all of these things at a time. And this was a time when there was no cure, no medicine, no doctors, no MRI, no antibiotics, nothing. If you were lame, you were lame for life. If you were blinded, you were blinded for life. If you were unable to work, you begged. And these people flocked to Jesus for healing. And Jesus gave them so much more than healing. He gave them forgiveness. Don't you recall when the paralytic man was lowered down through the roof of the thatched hut that and all of the leaders of the Jews were standing there when these friends of his lowered him down. They had so much faith in the healing of Jesus that they lowered their friend down to be healed. Instead of healing him, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more." And the leaders of the Jews said, "Who is this? It says it thinks that he can forgive sins. No one but God can forgive sins." Jesus, knowing that they could not see sins forgiven, knew that they could see bodies healed. And he said, "So then, rise and pick up your mat and walk." And the paralytic got up and picked up his mat and walked. This is the kind of stuff that these people witnessed. This is what they were talking about. They said that Jesus was mighty in word and deed. So he wasn't just mighty in deed, that is the healings, but he was mighty in word. He spoke the word of God with authority, and they had heard it. But just like so many of us who have received Jesus into our lives and hearts, who have called upon his name, who have been saved, been born again by Jesus. Just because we have our salvation, just because Jesus has saved us, doesn't guarantee that everything's going to go right. They talk about Jesus being a prophet. They talk about his mighty deeds, referring to his miracles. They talk about his being mighty in the word of God. They heard his preaching. But then at the end, he allowed himself to be taken captive when they knew he had the strength to do miracles. He had walked through the midst of people trying to stone him. He had walked through the midst of people in Nazareth, don't you recall, getting ready to throw him off the cliff. And he walked through their midst. And he allowed himself to be arrested, to be tortured, to be crucified. And what did they say? "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." These are men whose heart was broken. They had a certain view of Jesus. They had seen the miracles. They had seen him walk through crowds. They had seen him do these miraculous things and speak the word of God. He had stirred their hearts, and then he was dead. "We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel." These men were brokenhearted. These men were crushed. They had to get out of Jerusalem. They had to get away. So they walked the 7 miles to Emmaus. We don't today know where Emmaus was. We have no record of that. One day they're worshiping the Messiah. And now all they believed in has been brought to question. Isn't that the way it is with us? We receive our salvation. We receive the joy. We're just on top of the world. Everything is so good. I know the Lord. I know the Lord. Hallelujah. Everything is great. And then there's life. And then there's pain. And then there's illness. And it's tough. It's very tough. And then in the midst of their pain, here came Jesus. And Jesus didn't come into them saying, "What is the matter with you two idiots? Everything that you saw, what's the matter? Did you forget all that?" No, he walked with them first. He listened to them. He let them tell them about their concerns. He let them tell him about their hurting, about their unbelief. Jesus came to them in their unbelief. Jesus came to the women who came to the tomb in their distress and their grief. The tomb, someone had taken his body. He came to them in their unbelief. Jesus came to doubting Thomas in his unbelief and said, "Put your hands in my side." Jesus came to the disciples in the locked room, cowering in fear for their lives, trembling and not knowing, shaken and brokenhearted, not knowing what to do. And Jesus came to them. And Jesus comes to you and to me in our unbelief, in our pain, in our grief, in our fear, our confusion. And his word today opens the scriptures for us. His word today is available to us. Through the Holy Spirit, we have an interpreter, a helper, an advocate. Through the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus. Just like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, you and I are on a road. Just like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they thought they knew where they were going. They thought they were going to spend the night in Emmaus, probably at one of their homes. But that wasn't their destiny. Their destiny was to go back to Jerusalem and proclaim the life that Jesus Christ is alive, that he is risen, that there is hope, that everything he said was true, that he is the Savior, he is the Messiah. And it didn't really matter that the other disciples didn't believe them. That's what they came and told them. And that's what we are to do. We're not necessarily supposed to stick to our plans, stick to our safe roads, stick to the things that we have in mind to do. But we are to go and tell the people, whether they believe us or not, that Jesus Christ is risen, that Jesus Christ is alive, that Jesus Christ, what he said is true, that he does save, that he does heal, that he is there for you and me. And thank God that he is. The Bible and the Word is the only place that we can receive direction. The only place that we can find any meaning in our lives. Jesus didn't just tell us the way. Jesus didn't tell us just tell us, although that was a mighty thing to do, that he said, I am the way. Jesus showed us the way. Jesus showed us that the only way is to be obedient to the Father. Be obedient to the Word. Be obedient to the prophecy. Jesus showed us that the only way is to give everything of ourselves, holding back nothing. Holding back nothing from the Father. Jesus came into his kingdom. Holding back nothing from the Father, we come into eternal life. We come into the kingdom. We come into the presence of Jesus. Jesus showed us that he died. But more importantly, he showed us that he lives. And that you will live, and I will live also. Jesus came to these two men in Emmaus in the midst of their grief, in the midst of their unbelief. And they went and told, Christ is alive, Christ is risen. He is the Messiah. And that is what we are to do. That is what we are to share. And it doesn't matter if they don't believe us. Because they don't have to believe us, because Christ will come and show them himself. Christ will come and show himself to them. Who needs to hear that word from you? Who is it that needs to hear that word? It doesn't matter if they're going to believe. It doesn't matter if they're ready to hear. It doesn't matter if that's what they expect. And it doesn't matter if they consider you to be a fool. That's not your job. Your job is to deliver the word. Your job is to share the good news that Jesus Christ is risen. He is alive. He is the Messiah. And he is your personal, very personal Savior. Amen.